Psychologists tell us that when people are in stress or when they're in difficult situations of any kind, they're looking for some kind of a meaning, some kind of a structured way of understanding the situation so that they can, it helps them cope with it. And so basically what they're doing is they're constructing a narrative about this situation that helps them understand it. Now, the Bible is a wonderful example of that very same thing. There are two overarching narratives in the Old Testament. One is the Exodus narrative, and the other one is the exile narrative. And those are two stressful situations: slavery, bitter slavery in Egypt, and absolute hopelessness. And Moses comes and begins to form a narrative for them that God hears their cry of distress, and if they will trust God, he's going to lead them out of Egypt. And of course, we know historically that happened. Now, the exile is another stressful situation where 90% of the population of Israel is exiled to Babylon, hundreds of miles away. So, slavery, exile, there's something very similar about both of those situations. And in the case of Moses, he creates a narrative for them. In the case of the exile, it's the major three prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And we heard from Isaiah this morning. Now, one other element that's key, I think, to understanding this is all of these narratives have to do with eating. So on the night before they leave Egypt, Moses prescribes for them how to celebrate the Passover meal. And he tells them to sacrifice a lamb and to eat bitter herbs and unleavened bread and to do this at this same time every year in perpetuity so that you never forget this narrative, so that you never forget what God did for you in Egypt on this night. Now, Isaiah, in that first reading today, he's telling them, all you who are hungry, come and eat your fill and drink wine and be hopeful, because God is going to restore the covenant that you have destroyed. You know, the prophets in the time of the exile reminded people that they brought this down on their own heads by being unfaithful to God, by breaking the covenant over and over again. But one of the things they're also telling them is, you know, be willing to be chastised, be willing to be converted, be willing to come back sorrowfully, but come back hopefully. Come back knowing that God is going to renew the covenant and he's going to fulfill the promises made to David. Even though that line died out centuries ago, even though, you know, historically and in a worldly way, in a government kind of way, it's just hopeless and it's lost. But I don't want you to give up hope, because God is always on your side. And then in the second reading, Paul says to his listeners, can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Heights, depths, powers, angelic hosts, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the gospel, again, it's about food. They're hungry out there on the mountainside. Jesus, God, takes compassion on them. He feels for them. And so he rescues them by feeding them. But in all these events, there's more than just the eating. Because in none of these are we talking about just a meal. We're talking about a storied meal, a narrative meal. And the beauty about story is that unlike fact, which is just one thing and, you know, that's it, story has endless amounts of meaning. And the Bible, which is an inspired story, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's like God. It's infinite in meaning. It can never be exhausted. And so any generation can find meaning in these texts. Any generation can find meaning in these meals, more than just eating, but being drawn up into the relationship with God, infinity. And so We're about to do the narrative here that we do every Sunday. We call it the words or the narrative of institution, the institution narrative. On the night before he died, he took bread, broke it, blessed it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body." Okay, we know this by heart, don't we? Because we hear it all the time. Why do we need to keep repeating this narrative? It's the same reason Moses said, "I want you to repeat the Passover meal every year at this time in perpetuity," because if you don't keep narrating this, if you don't hold on to the story, you're going to lose your identity. You're going to lose your hope. Okay, we're in crisis now. We're in a stressed situation with this pandemic. And, you know, back in the 70s, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote a book on the five stages of grief and loss. And the stages are something like this: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. Well, for me personally, since March, I've gone through denial, I've gone through anger, I've gone through bargaining. I'm in depression mode right now. I'm just tired of it. I get it. You know, I understand why we had to be careful. I'm all about wearing masks. I totally get it, but I'm tired of it. Tired of the anxiety, the fear, tired of the inconvenience, you know, on and on. And I think everybody kind of feels that way. So we're in a kind of a low point in this cycle of this crisis, because we can kind of see the end. We're beginning to be promised that there's going to be a vaccine eventually, but we're also told that it could be as much as a year away. And so, you know, looking ahead, are we going to be doing this for another 5 or 6 months or even beyond? That's just a little depressing. This is the time. This is a maximum time when we need to hear the narrative, when we need to hear the hopeful message that is brought to us in Christ Jesus, that God is in every situation, that God always hears our cries of distress, our cries of frustration and anger and bargaining and depression, and he will get us through this. There will be an end to this, and there will be a resolution that will be perhaps better than it was before, because suffering is always hard to go through, but if we are open to the grace, it strengthens us, it builds us, it makes us who we are. We are always better for having suffered. And that's why we have Lent every year, where we do some voluntary suffering. You know, life throws things at us like COVID, but there's voluntary suffering too, because somehow the church has this ancient wisdom that suffering leads to resurrection. And the best way for you to learn that is through the hard knocks of suffering, so that when things do happen to you, you're a little bit toughened. Your faith is deeper. Your faith isn't going to go away just because of some suffering. It's actually going to get deeper. And so we gather around an altar of sacrifice. Yes, it's a meal, but it's a sacrificial meal. It recalls the sacrifice that Jesus did for us on the cross. It recalls the willing suffering that God is willing to go through on our behalf. And we're invited not just to be grateful for that, but to participate in it, to give ourselves to this project, to lay our lives on the altar along with Christ, to become givers as well as receivers, to become people who are sacrificial, who are willing to be an offering to God. In many ways, what we talk about here every Sunday has been made more real because of what we're going through. Sad as that is, it's also a good thing, and we give thanks to God for that too.